Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Philip.
Ricardo.
When I was in Bolivia, I was talking to someone about the Quechua language, that one of the languages spoken in Bolivia, and the guy was telling me that it's a tonal language, that depending on how you say something, so I'm studying you now, because when you say, I agree with you, it depends on the tone. Would you agree?
I see.
I agree with you, but depending on how you entone it, I know if the agreement is total or partial.
I have not thought of that. That's the fascinating part of listening to yourself or others, that they have those observations. I have been told that my facial reactions tell more than I think they do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not thinking anything of it, but I've had people who say, oh, you looked really upset there. And I don't know what they're talking about. But so it's visually and maybe audibly, sometimes we communicate things we don't appreciate.
This is very funny. Somebody told me that at Mass, if I get upset about something, that I blush. So then I'm very self-conscious now.
Yeah. And so am I. Yeah. It's just something I haven't appreciated. I'm in all my years of life so far, I'm becoming a little bit more aware of that. And now you've made me more sensitive.
When you say now, from now on, whenever you say, I agree with you, you will be very mindful.
Right.
So we are here, two guys and a gospel. I was telling Father Philip that we got a bit of an increase in our listening audience, and of course he put it down immediately, probably something technical, but we are very thankful for people that follow us, and some emails we get once in a while, they are very encouraging.
Yeah. So I'm Father Philip Ogacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa. I'm one of the two guys.
And Father Ricardo Martin. I'm the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and also the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese, from whose studios we are recording this podcast.
So we're coming up now on the 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Again, we're getting closer to the end of the liturgical year, and that's always something to be conscious of. So I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel.
Chapter 18, verses 1 to 8.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town, who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones, who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'"
This gospel is obviously about prayer. And if I would make the following statement, see if you would understand what I mean. My fear is that with prayer, like with many other things, we have been thinking about it as if it were part of the marketplace exchange of life. And what Jesus is telling us here, with a very funny story, if we can say that, is that prayer is a lifestyle more than something we do when we need it, or even something that we do regularly without purpose. I think Jesus is telling us prayer is a lifestyle.
You're right about that. Prayer is the most...
Say it again. You are right about that. I agree with you.
Right. Okay. I agree with you.
I'm checking the sound, the tone.
No, you're right about that. Prayer is one of the most fundamental things we do to practice a relationship with God, to live out a relationship with God, but it's so misunderstood. And when it goes south, it can really affect one's life. I just had someone the other day, it was a wonderful couple who's getting married, and on the female's half, her father is suffering from a very difficult form of cancer, living his life now several years past what was expected. But what's been so sad is the misunderstanding of the role of prayer and the role of God in this, which is very hard in the midst of suffering. But because dad wasn't healed of this cancer, therefore prayers weren't answered. That's the conclusion. And that's what I think a lot of us think. It's this petitionary prayer. And if I don't get what I want, it's going to be. So we had a very, very nice discussion and tried to open up kind of this reality of, well, there are different ways that prayers are answered. There are different ways in which we communicate in a relationship. And it was just really helpful. And I'm glad she shared that with me. And we can have really a nice discussion about that. But prayer is misunderstood is my point.
Only to tell people that there are many acceptable ways of prayer, and that part of prayer should be that we not only focus on intercessory prayers, that's what you are referring to, no? When we ask for something or for someone, or that we pray too much for ourselves sometimes, no?
Right.
My father, who is not a particularly religious person, I don't think he's a religious, I mean, I know he's not a religious person at all. He would say, you would pray, when I was a child, he would say, you would pray for the exam to go well. I would pray for you to study enough, and that the result of the exam is fair.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, then we go to this funny story about the dishonest. It's very funny that the judge says, I don't care about God. I don't care about human beings. I have no respect for anybody.
It is humorous the way
he says it. But I don't want this widow to strike me.
Right.
I think some friends and parishioners of mine have experienced this on me. When someone comes to you with the same thing for many times, if the things are worthy, at some point you say, the passion of the person moves you. So there is one parishioner at the parish who wanted to do a men's group on Saturday mornings, and he kept insisting. I didn't see it clearly, but he insisted so much that I said, the passion of this man deserves. I didn't fear that he would strike me. but if Jeff is listening to him, I refer to the men's group that we have at Sacred Heart on Saturday mornings. And now there is a women's group also. His wife is running a women's group also. So I think God is the same way. If you care so much that you would take a negative for several times and you keep insisting, at some point you are moved and you say, only because of the passion of this person, I need to pay attention to this.
Exactly. You're right about that. And I think what Jesus says in different ways, in very creative ways, such as this parable right here, is, first of all, the importance of persistence on our part in prayer, but also, I don't know the right word, it's not irony, but in saying, if that's what happens in that situation, how much easier is it that God will answer you?
Yeah.
So sometimes it does not take a lot of persistence, but if you genuinely speak to the Lord, that prayer is going to be effective. I think it's important to remember that prayer too is, it's not just about us, but it's also us thinking more like God. So us accommodating to God's ways of doing things. And that's what's so important about a consistent life of prayer, is we begin to change our perspective to say, this is the way that God sees me and sees the world, and thus I adjust my expectations. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we forget about that part of prayer. It's like any authentic relationship. You accommodate a little bit to a spouse or a friend, and the same thing with God.
Yeah, and like in many other things, because the church worries about her children, so there is a sense, for instance, with priests, a sense of obligation of what prayers you have to do, and then people may feel also an obligation to pray, and then you remove life from prayer. You know, the obligation is there to help people to do the right thing. I mean, I believe in Sunday obligation because it's good for you to be at Mass, and I guess that it became a Sunday obligation to emphasize it. And with prayer happens the same thing. I wonder if there are many people who pray because it's the thing to do, and then we remove this idea here that it's prayer is like a relationship with God. There is a God that is listening for you and waiting for you to ask the right things and to ask them enough and with enough passion that he may be moved.
This is not the best example, but I think there's something appropriate to it. So in, you know, at times you go to a conference to be inspired. You know, it might be some practical things you learn in the area of work that you're engaged in. Or if you're an artist, it's helpful to be around creative people sometimes. They inspire you. But the importance of a praying community, too.
Also.
This is why it's so important that we're part of a parish, that we're part of a praying community. It moves us. It supports us. And I just want to point out the first reading. The first reading today is spectacular. It's this really powerful image, the book of Exodus, of Moses, who is raising his hands in prayer to God. And you know what's so cool is he has these two individuals. You have Aaron and Hur, who hold up his hands. It's this beautiful image of both of them holding up his hands in prayer, and a reminder, I think, of the way we need to support each other in prayer and support each other in the practice of prayer. I think about just the life of a praying community. So
You said something about being inspired and going to conferences. You inspire me, so I come every Wednesday. Open to be inspired by you. That was a very inspiring thought.
That's one of the many reasons I appreciate doing this. Mm. And hopefully people, you know, who are listening will the same thing, but to talk through things and to think through things. And it is inspiring.
What do you think you will preach about?
I don't know. I am very interested in this first reading, and I want to look a little bit more into that. This is one of those times where I might not primarily preach on the gospel, so I'm not sure, but it's going to be about prayer. I've got to think about, for my communities, and you'll have to do the same, what have I not said about prayer, or what exactly do they need at this moment? Because that's a big, broad area to speak about, so I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, in 16 years as a priest, I've never not preached about the gospel. I mean, I'm a very... And last time I said this, somebody told me that they know a priest in the archdiocese that only preaches about the second reading, which is...
Oh, really?
Whatever. Yeah, interesting. So I think I want to preach about what happens when prayer becomes a lifestyle.
Yeah.
What are the consequences? And I would like to say one more thing. I was also in Bolivia. It was a very inspiring trip. And we went to a place, let me see, near Lake Titicaca, where they have a basilica, minor basilica for Our Lady. And there was a site advocation. So it wasn't the principal, the main advocation, but it was the Our Lady of the Lake,
okay,
which was a beautiful painting. So I prayed there, and I prayed for something. I said I had some more selfless prayers, but one that was a little selfish.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, but in a very different way than I was expecting. So I wanted to mention that also. We pray sometimes, and through the dialogue between prayer and real life, sometimes you get what you prayed for in a different way.
That has been my experience exactly. At really key moments and with a kind of major things that I'm praying for, as human beings, we're so limited and uncreative, mm-hmm, just in our expanse of what can happen compared to what God can do. Mm. And it is amazing. I've had that as well, where that prayer has been answered, but in a completely different way than I ever would have expected. And it's a million times better. And it's a million times more creative and exciting.
Or at a different time.
Exactly. Right. And I think that's what's important as they think about Dad with cancer and, mm-hmm, kind of the way that God wants to work through all of that. It could be a physical healing, but it could be in other kinds of healing as well, for instance, that are just outside of our realm. And that's what's exciting. We're, mm-hmm, we're pretty boring as human, mm-hmm, beings compared to the miraculous adventures that God wants to put us on.
Good. Do you ever pray for me?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I do.
I do pray for you.
I do.
And I hope our listeners pray for us also.
Please
do. As we pray for them.
Really. In all seriousness, yes, we need that. So please pray for us and for those priests who serve your parishes as well.
So I'll be praying for you until Wednesday when I see you again.
All right. Good. I'll see you then.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media. But today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, You can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Pfarrer Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.